Greetings to the house of the Most High, the lovingly committed children of Jacob Israel. May the divine influence be with you. This is part 11 of all the verses on grace and mercy. You can follow along with the article by going to thinkoutsidethebeast.com. Grace and mercy is found in the Word Studies menu. We all have the divine gratuity, the free gift, which comes from the promises made with Abraham. We all respond to influence, whether it be the divine influence, which comes from Yahweh, or the influence which comes from the adversary. If you are a churchgoer or accept any of the thousands of so-called Christian denominations, then you are being influenced by the devil, his Jewish children, and by those of our own race who have also been influenced by the counterfeit doctrine designed by the children of the wicked one. There's no way around it. Church doctrine and Jaime Jesus are the opposite of scriptural doctrine and Yeshua the Messiah. The counterfeit versus the truth. It matters who and what you believe in. We left off in part 10 in Romans chapter 15 and continue here in part 11 with Romans 16:17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. 2 Timothy 3:5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Avoid those who preach the doctrines of men. And for today, Paul would warn about today's apostate churches. Verse 18. For they that are such serve not our Prince Yeshua Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil. The Greek reads, yet unblended into the evil. Verse 20, and the Elohim of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace, or divine influence, of our Prince Yeshua Christ be with you. Amen. Paul is telling these Judahite Romans that Satan will be crushed under their feet. This is a prophecy. He is identifying the Jewish ruling class, the Edomite Pharisees, Satan's children, and that they will be crushed. This prophecy came true in 70 AD when the Romans, who were Israelites of the house of Judah, destroyed the temple under General Titus. This broke the power of the Edomite Jews, and many fled to Caesarea, while the Catholic Church gained power, and the children of Israel migrated through the Caucasus Mountains, where we get the word Caucasian, and settled the nations of Europe and eventually America. Verse 24. The grace, or divine influence, of our Prince Yeshua Christ be with you all. Amen. In Romans, Paul continues teaching the divine influence of Yeshua Messiah to his Israelite kinsmen. Paul is reacquainting his Israelite kinsmen to their heritage through the gospel message. How Yahweh keeps his promises and covenants with Abraham. That the prophecies of their kinsman Redeemer has come to fruition, and that both houses of Judah and Israel are both under the reconciliation and redemption through Yeshua. That his mercy and grace is his loving commitment to his people. That he is working his divine influence on them through his gospel and the law written on their hearts. Mercy and grace are compassion and loving commitment, divine gratuity and divine influence. How you respond is up to you. Matthew 22:14, for many are called, but few chosen. 1 Corinthians 1:3. Grace, or divine influence, be unto you, and peace from our Elohim and Father, and from the Prince Yeshua Christ. I thank my Elohim always on your behalf, for the grace, or divine influence, of Elohim which is given you by Yeshua Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him, in all utterance and in all knowledge. He wants you to know your heritage, understand Scripture, and be enriched by following his example. Verse 6. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Testimony should read proof, and Christ should read the anointed, meaning the people or group, the 12 tribes, and in should be among. We are the proof of the called out anointed seed which Christ died for. If we are being lovingly committed, then we are confirming the body. Verse 7. So that you come behind in no gift, or divine gratuity, waiting for the coming of our Prince Yeshua Christ. Come behind in no gift means lacking or deficient of the divine gratuity. Verse 8. Who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Prince Yeshua Christ. We all have the divine gratuity because we are children of Yahweh and because of the promises made with Abraham. But if you lack in the knowledge of the truth and are not being a lovingly committed one and obedient to the way, then you will be lacking the divine gratuity because by your ignorance and defiance you will have rejected it. Hosea 4:6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, that you shall be no priest to me, seeing you have forgotten the Torah of your Elohim. I will also forget your children. We do not have salvation because we accepted him and believe. We believe because we have salvation. 1 Corinthians 2:11. For what man knows the thoughts of a man, except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of Elohim knows no man, but the spirit of Elohim. If you don't have the spirit, or DNA, you cannot know Elohim. Verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the society, but the spirit which is of Elohim, that we might know the things that are freely given, or favorably given, to us of Elohim, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual matters with spiritual matters. Paul states that there is a difference within those of the spirit race and those of the earth. The race of Adam is the only people born from above with the spirit of Elohim. Paul is exhorting the brethren in Corinth about envy and divisions. Some people liked to hear Paul, others Apollos. 1 Corinthians 3:5. What then is Paul, and what is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the prince gave to every man, or assigned to each? I have planted, Apollos watered, but Elohim gave the growth. So then neither is he that plants anything, neither he that waters, but Elohim that gives the increase. Now he that plants and he that waters are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with Elohim. You are Elohim's husbandry. You are Elohim's building. according to the grace, or divine influence, of Elohim, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another builds thereon. But let every man take heed how he builds thereon. Paul founded the assemblies in Corinth. 1 Corinthians 7:7. For I would that all men were even as I myself, but every man has his proper gift, or divine gratuity, of Elohim, one after this manner, and another after that. Paul is referring to being single, unmarried. Verse 25. Now concerning virgins, I have no commandment of the prince, yet I give my advice as one that has obtained mercy, or loving commitment, of the prince to be trustworthy. Paul basically states that if you are married, stay married. If you are not, don't get married. It was a time of persecution, and it was not a good time to start a family. But to get married or have children was not a sin either. This next verse is not saying that you can eat pork. The context is food sacrificed unto idols, and the practice of loving commitment towards unbelieving kinsmen. 1 Corinthians 10:27. If any of them that believe not invite you to a feast, and you wish to go, whatsoever is set before you, eat, asking no question for conscience' sake. But if any man say to you, this is offered in sacrifice unto idols, eat not for his sake that showed it, and for conscience' sake, for the earth is the master's, and the fullness thereof. Conscience, I say, not your own, but of the other. For why is my freedom judged of another man's conscience? For if I, by grace, or divine influence, be a partaker, why am I evil spoken of for that which I give thanks? Whether you eat or drink, or whatsoever you do, do all to the honor of Elohim. In other words, don't be divisive over minor details. Loving commitment is more important than pitching a fit over profaned food. Now, if that unbeliever invited you to join in the sacrifice of that meat to an idol, then you would decline that offer. You would also decline eating unclean foods, because being lovingly committed towards your brethren does not nullify the law of eating unclean foods. 1 Corinthians 12:4. Now there are diversities of gifts, or diversities of divine gratuity, but the same Spirit. Paul is saying that every Israelite has different gifts, but the same Spirit. Verse 5. And there are differences, or diversities, or apportionments, of services, but the same Prince. And there are diversities of operations, but it is the same Elohim which works all in all. Ephesians 1:23, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. The church is not the body. The ecclesia is the body, the people, the called out assembly of the children of Israel. It's the people. Each person is a member of the group, the body. Verse 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith or belief by the same Spirit, to another the gifts or divine gratuity of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another an interpreter of prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of languages, to another, the interpretation of languages. But all these work that one and the self-same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now you are the body of Christ, and members in particular. The Greek reads, "So then, you are an anointed body, and members by destiny." Paul is preaching that the Judeans and the dispersed Israelite nations are of one body. Each Israelite individual is a specific part, and each has their part. Each is important to the whole. We are to unite as a group, a body, and care for each other as part of the group or body. Verse 28, "And Elohim has set some in the assembly, first apostles, secondarily prophets or interpreters of prophecy, thirdly teachers, after those with abilities, then gifts or divine gratuity of healings, those that are supports, those that are guides, and those with diversities of language." Are all apostles? Are all interpreters of prophecy? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts or divine gratuity of healing? Do all speak with many languages? Do all interpret? But seek earnestly the best gifts, or divine gratuity, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Chapter 13 is the love chapter. None of the things just mentioned are anything without loving commitment towards the body of the anointed ones. 1 Corinthians 15:9. "For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not fit to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the assembly of Elohim. But by the grace," or, "but by the divine influence of Elohim, I am that which I am. And his grace," or, "and his divine influence, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace," or "divine influence of Elohim which was with me." Paul kept the gospel going after the other apostles' deaths. 1 Corinthians 16:22. "If any man love not the Prince Yeshua Christ, let him be anathema maranatha." Anathema is a Greek word meaning accursed. Maranatha is a Hebrew word meaning the approaching judgment, the return of our King. It can mean until he cometh. Mara meaning to rebel, and natha means to tear out or overthrow. Anathema maranatha. He must be accursed, a rebel, or he who is a rebel, to be destroyed. Verse 23, "The grace," or divine influence, "of our Prince Yeshua Christ be with you." 2 Corinthians 1:11. "You also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift," or divine gratuity, "bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf." Speaking of the prayers for protection and the donations to help the ministry. 2 Corinthians 2:6. "Sufficient to such a man is this punishment, which was inflicted of many, so that, contrariwise, you ought rather to forgive," or "deal graciously him, and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. Wherefore I beseech you that you would confirm your love toward him. For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things, to whom you forgive, or deal graciously in anything, I forgive also. For if I forgave, or have dealt graciously anything, to whom I have dealt graciously with, for your sakes, forgave I it in the presence of the anointed, the group. In 1 Corinthians, some of the letter was about a certain man who engaged in incest. The Corinthians were to cast him out of their community if he did not repent and change his ways. They dealt with the problem. If they followed the letter of the law, they would have been like the Pharisees, but they honored the law by being merciful. He apparently did repent and was allowed back into the congregation. We must strive to obey the law, but also have mercy towards our brethren. This is showing loving commitment and understanding of divine influence. 2 Corinthians 4:1. Therefore, seeing we have this service, as we have received mercy, or compassion, or loving commitment, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of Elohim falsely, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of Elohim. But if our gospel be veiled, it is veiled to them that are being destroyed, in whom the God of this age has blinded the minds of them which believe not, so that the enlightening of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of Elohim, does not shine on them. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace, or divine influence, having spread through the many, would cause thanksgiving to flow unto the honor of Elohim. If you believe in any of the doctrines of denominational churchianity, or believe in a Jewish Jesus, then you have been dealt the word of God falsely, because you have been blinded by the God of this world and his Jewish children's fables, that the gospel is veiled to you, who will be perishing because the enlightening of the loving commitment of Yeshua does not shine on those who do not respond to the divine influence. But because of Yahweh's abundant loving commitment and the loving commitment of your brethren towards you, you may be moved to consider the divine influence and receive sight. 2 Corinthians 6:1. We then, as workers together, beseech also that you receive not the grace, or divine influence, of Elohim in vain. This verse says that there is a possibility of losing grace as well. 2 Corinthians 8:1. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace, or divine influence, of Elohim bestowed on the assemblies of Macedonia. For to their ability I bear record, yea, and beyond their ability they gave voluntarily, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift, or good will, meaning the donation, and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we expected, but first gave their own selves to the prince and unto us by the will of Elohim, insomuch that we desired Titus that as he begun, so he would also finish in you the same grace, or divine influence also. Therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, or belief, and utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace, or divine influence also. I speak not by commandment to give, but by occasion of the eagerness of others and to prove the sincerity of your love. For you know the grace, or divine influence, of our Prince Yeshua Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich. And herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, who have begun before, not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. If the Corinthians were really willing, they would have been saving up for a year, since this is the second visit to Corinth. The Corinthians were a wealthy society. The above verses are referring to them helping out other, less fortunate assemblies, or the procrastination thereof. Verse 19, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the assemblies to travel with us with this grace, or divine influence, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Prince and declaration of your ready mind, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in this abundance which is administered by us. Paul did not take money, and never asked for money. He wanted to remain above reproach. The assembly picked someone to deliver the money. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and Elohim is able to make all grace, or divine influence, abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Is just believing considered work? Paul is teaching that if you give to others sincerely, Yahweh will give to you, hence grace, loving commitment, responding to divine influence. Righteousness is following the law. If you show loving commitment to your brethren, which is the context here, you are following all the laws. By loving our brethren, we are doing exactly everything Yahweh wants us to do. Verse 9. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness remains forever. Now he that supplies seed to the sower, both supplies bread for your food, shall supply and increase the seed you have sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. The Greek reads, in every way being enriched in all sincerity, which through us accomplishes gratitude to Yahweh. Verse 12, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but is abundant also by the many thanksgivings unto Elohim. Verse 13 is quite different in the Greek, so I'll just read the Greek. Verse 13, through the proof of this service honoring Yahweh, upon the submission of your agreement to the good message of the anointed, meaning the people, and sincerity of the partnership for them and for all, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace, or divine influence, of Elohim in you. The anointed people are the children of Jacob. Anointed means consecrated, called, chosen. Isaac was dedicated on the altar to Yahweh. His seed, through Jacob, are the anointed peoples. The favor, or grace, we receive comes from the promise made to Abraham. These gospels and epistles are the good news of the loving commitment and merciful kindness of Yahweh's promise to our people, and is teaching us to be a partnership in unity. We each play parts in supporting the whole body. 2 Corinthians 12:7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance, or transcendence, of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, or adversity, to buffet, or chastise me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the prince 3 times, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace, or my divine influence, is sufficient for you. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. My grace is sufficient. The churches teach this as if it's all you need to know. The law is done away with. Just believe. We're all under grace, and deeds don't matter. You're prayed up, paid up, and waiting to go up. None of this is scriptural, and it teaches the attitude of personal salvation and to just wait around for the rapture, instead of national salvation, brotherly loving commitment, and building the kingdom as a lovingly committed one doing your duty. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace, or divine influence, of the Prince Yeshua Christ, and the love of Elohim, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. The same message and theme of mercy and grace continues in 1 and 2 Corinthians. Every Israelite has the divine gratuity of Yahweh. Yahweh is lovingly committed to every Israelite, and every Israelite is called by his divine influence. Not every Israelite responds to that calling. Knowledge, understanding, obedience, and being a lovingly committed one is how you receive mercy and grace. You've got to give it to get it. It's all about the edification of the members of the body. The Corinthians were a wealthy society, and the message of sincere giving is strong, and the need for each member to do their part is emphasized in the teaching. 2 Corinthians 9:10 through 11. And Yahweh, who supplies seed to the sower and bread, which is his word, into food, shall supply and increase the seed you have sown in others, and increase the fruit of your righteousness, in every way being enriched in all sincerity, which through us accomplishes gratitude to Yahweh. The circle of loving commitment, a divinely influenced functioning body of the anointed ones. That is simply how receiving grace and mercy works. Galatians 1:3. Grace, or divine influence, be to you, my brethren of the 12 tribes of Israel, and peace from Elohim the Father, and from the Prince Yeshua Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of Elohim and our Father, to whom be honor forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace, or divine influence, of Christ, or the anointed, the group, unto another gospel. Let me repeat that in accuracy. I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the divine influence of the anointed unto another gospel, which is no other good message, but there be some that agitate you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Paul is saying that others, the Judaizers, will come in sheep's clothing and try to agitate or pervert the truth. He's warning of false preachers, like today's churches, who teach a false doctrine. Verse 4 states he might deliver us. Might being maybe, depending on your knowledge of the truth and your loving commitment to his ways. Verse 6 shows that he can remove you from grace. Verse 15, but when it pleased Elohim, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, or divine influence, to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the nations of scattered Israel. Immediately, I did not consult with flesh and blood. Apparently, Paul went to Arabia and returned to Damascus after his conversion, and 3 years later went up to Jerusalem to see Peter. Peter was the apostle to the circumcision, which is the house of Judah, Israelite Judeans of the tribes of Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. They kept and continued their heritage and the Torah. These are the people that Christ demonstrated the example to. Paul was the apostle to the uncircumcision, which is the house of Israel, the other 10 tribes, the nations, wrongly and deliberately translated as Gentiles. They had lost and forgot their heritage and the Torah. Galatians 2:9. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace, or perceived the divine influence that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go to the nations, or the house of Israel, and they unto the circumcision, the house of Judah. Paul had to call out Peter, who was entertaining the uncircumcised, and when the circumcised came around, he pretended not to know the uncircumcised. He said to Peter that if Peter, being a circumcised Judean, lived after the manner of the uncircumcised, why does he compel the uncircumcised to live as the circumcised? In other words, why is he being a hypocrite? Verse 21, I do not refuse the grace or divine influence of Elohim, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If following the rituals or the law saves us, then what do we need Christ for? They were a schoolmaster for learning, for obedience and understanding, for growth. Galatians 3:17. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before Elohim, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect. The written law of Moses was given 430 years after the promises were given to Abraham. Verse 18, for if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more out of promise. But Elohim gave, or has graciously given, it to Abraham by promise. The promise is not out of the law. Our free gift of salvation is because of the promise. But we can be blotted out, or fall from grace, or be denied mercy, if we do not practice and strive for the same loyalty and obedience of Abraham and Christ. Verse 19. Wherefore, then, serves the law? It was added because of transgressions, or sin, till the offspring should come to whom the promises was made, and it was ordained by messengers in the hand of a mediator. Yahweh promised himself to the children of Israel in the form of Yeshua, who is of the seed of Abraham, hence our kinsman redeemer. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty, or freedom, wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. The liberty is the freedom from the rituals. The yoke of bondage is the penalty of sin. The penalty of sin is death, eternally. The rituals were a teaching lesson that had an expiration date. That was when Christ died for our sins. The rituals and the priesthood were needed no more. We are cleansed through the blood that was shed, and now walk in righteousness when we don't sin. Paul is telling them not to go back to the rituals. Christ cleansed our past sins. If we are to become servants of righteousness, we must continue to be separate from sin. Of course, we can't always, but we can constantly and consciously and sincerely make an effort always. It's the loving commitment he's looking for. Verse 2, Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, or declared right by the Torah, you are fallen from grace, or divine influence. The law of circumcision does not save you. If you are justified by following ordinances or even the Torah, then Christ profits you for nothing. This is also why the sacrificial rituals expired when Christ died. It had its place as a schoolmaster. Anybody can follow a law or ordinance. They can just go through the motion and without sincerity. An empty act will not gain you favor and shows lack of divine influence. The churches go to worship Jewish Jesus on the day of the sun god, falsely honoring him with their lips, and continue their ignorant and sinful lifestyle. They believe that the law was done away with, that they are under grace and are saved because they say so. They eat pork and do not observe the manner of life, and do not observe the manner of life which a true Christian lives. They lack divine influence and have only responded to demonic influence. May Yahweh have mercy on them. Galatians 6:15. For in Christ Yeshua, neither circumcision has any strength, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. 1 Corinthians 7:19. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but the keeping of the commandments of Elohim does matter. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Messiah, he is on a renewed foundation. The old matters have passed away. See, all matters have become renewed. The references of Romans 2:26-29 state that if you are uncircumcised but follows the Torah, you are reckoned as circumcised, and more so than one who is circumcised that does not follow the Torah. What also may be being said here is that when you come to the truth and take hold of it, if you are not circumcised, don't fret over getting circumcised. Just continue to follow the commandments of Yahweh and live as a lovingly committed one. Verse 16, And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them, and mercy, or loving commitment, and upon the Israel, or the anointed, of Elohim. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Prince Yeshua. Brethren, the grace, or divine influence, of our Prince Yeshua Christ be with your spirit. Amen. Mercy and grace in Galatians is still the loving commitment and divine influence of Yahweh working in his people that follow or return to him. The first five chapters of Galatians is all about the works of the law, meaning the sacrificial rituals. They never saved anyone. They only had a teaching purpose and were a temporary atonement and expired when Christ died. Many did not understand this and continued the sacrifices. Paul was teaching the children of Israel that both houses needed to be circumcised in the heart, meaning repent, change their ways, gain understanding, and live for Christ, which is done by loving commitment towards your race and living a righteous Christian life, which includes keeping his laws, Shabbats, and feast days. The new covenant is not new and with other people or a church. It's a better covenant in which only the priesthood and the rituals were done away with. Ephesians 1:1. Paul, an apostle of Yeshua Christ by the will of Elohim, to the saints which are in Ephesus, and to the ones believing in Yeshua Christ. Paul is addressing his Israelite brethren in Ephesus. A saint is one who is of the tribe of Jacob. A saint is a called out one, set apart, chosen. Yahweh chose Abraham's seed through Isaac and Jacob and the children of Jacob, the people of the promise. Verse 2, grace or divine influence be to you, and peace from our Elohim and our Father, and from the Prince Yeshua Christ, to the praise and the honor of his grace, or divine influence, wherein he had made us accepted, or highly favored, in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, or favor, or merciful kindness, wherein he has abounded toward us in all wisdom and understanding, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure which he has purposed within himself, that in the dispensation, or stewardship, of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. As the seed of Abraham, Christ was the only perfect man. He set the example. We are of this same seed, called, and therefore stewards of his purpose. If your stewardship is supporting the church's idea of a Jewish Jesus, you might not be gathered with the stewards that understand their true prince. Verse 11, in whom we have also obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that works in all things after the counsel of his own will. Only Abraham's seed was preordained for Yahweh's purpose and promise of inheritance. Verse 12, that we should be the praise of his honor, who first trusted in Christ. Those who were aware and had a part in it, meaning the apostles who walked with Christ. Verse 13, in whom you also, after that you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your deliverance, in whom also, after that you understood, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, or the down payment of the Spirit, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. The purchased possession is the seed of Abraham, not anybody and everybody. The churches say everyone is redeemed, but the scriptures say only Israelites. The message of grace is to the children of Israel. It originates from the promise by Yahweh with Abraham regarding his seed, his posterity, his descendants. It is the merciful kindness, loving commitment, by which Yahweh, exerting his divine influence upon Israelite souls, turns them to Christ, keeps, strengthens, increases them in Christian belief, knowledge, affection, and kindles them to the exercise, practice, and way of the Christian virtues. Ephesians 2:4. But Elohim, who is rich in mercy, or loving commitment, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace, or divine influence, you are saved. Christ is from the word Christos, meaning anointed. It often refers to the anointed seed, the children of Jacob. The Greek is more clear and accurate. Verse 5, and we, being dead in transgressions, are made alive with the anointed, the group. By divine influence are you being preserved. Verse 6, and has raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Yeshua, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace, or divine influence, in his kindness, or goodness, towards us through Christ Yeshua. Might means maybe. Maybe if you are among the number of those in allegiance to the belief, you will receive favor or grace. 1 Corinthians 10:12, so that he who thinks he stands, let him take heed lest he fall. Continuing with verse 8, for by grace, or for by divine influence, you are preserved through the belief, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of Elohim, not of works, lest any man should boast. There is nothing we do for this favor or grace. It is a free gift from Yahweh because of the promises made to Abraham and his seed. A habitual sinner will not receive grace. An ignorant sinner will not receive grace. That is why it matters who and what we believe in. If we gained grace or favor because of works, whether rituals or deeds, then we could boast that we saved ourselves. Kind of like the church people, they boast and declare themselves saved by just believing and accepting him in his heart. Paul is not saying the law or works are not needed, but simply that by following the law and being a lovingly committed one puts you into position to receive the favor or grace. Following Yahweh's laws and knowing and keeping our heritage is our duty. We are supposed to do it, not to be rewarded because we do it. Verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Yeshua unto good works, which Elohim has before ordained, that we would walk in them. These scriptures tell us that favor is shown to those who walk in his ways. Grace is tied to the blessings of obedience and the curses of disobedience. If you are ignorant, stiff-necked, and a willing or habitual sinner, then the curses of disobedience will remove you from grace. If you want to receive the blessings which come from obedience, then you must learn the way, the truth, and that which leads to the quickening of your dormant spirit, which is the one and true Elohim Yeshua Christ. If you will humble yourself, acknowledge that you have missed the mark of duty, and repent, which means to change your mind and your ways, and continue in the belief and knowledge of Elohim, then you can expect to receive the divine influence and tender mercies of Yahweh.
Lord, I'm tired, my way grows weary, doubt and fear won't let me be. When the blue skies turn dark and dreary, let thy tender mercy fall on me. Let thy tender mercy fall on me. Where I'm blinded by sin, Lord, let me see. Let me place my wayward trust in thee. Lord, let thy tender mercy fall on me. That cold, dark river, when those icy hands reach out for me, then I'll cry, oh, blessed Savior, let thy tender mercy fall on me. Let thy tender mercy fall on me. When I'm blinded by sin, Lord, let me see. Let me place my wayward trust in thee. Lord, let thy tender mercy fall on me. When we see him in all his glory, when we kneel around that great white throne, then I'll know his loving kindness and tender mercy brought me. Then I'll know his loving kindness and tenderness.